Well, hello. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to the first day of March. Here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. We're so very glad you're along for this. Yes, this first day of March 2021. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you on this Sens game day. And it is going to be a wonky weather day. We're going to have a bit of a temperature roller coaster for the entire week here in Ottawa, something we haven't really experienced all winter. We'll get this week. For instance, right now, as you wake up this morning, it's +3. When you wake up tomorrow, it's going to be -28 with the wind chill. Yes, that's right, from +3 to -28. All right, for today, we're going to start off with potentially a little bit of drizzle. We've got some snow, though, moving in this afternoon, likely to begin around lunch hour, maybe upwards of 5 centimeters, and we've got pretty gusty winds as well. So there is the prospect of some blowing snow this afternoon. But again, 5 centimeters is what we're expecting between this afternoon and early this evening. And the temperature will drop to -9 by this afternoon. And how about -19 overnight tonight? The -28, that's with the wind chill. That's tomorrow morning. Tomorrow will be a sunny, windy, cold day. High -5. Fret not, because Wednesday the high will be +2. And then Thursday, it'll be -6, and then by the weekend, it'll be back in the plus range. So we're kind of all over the map, but March is coming in like the proverbial lion, as they say. Bit of a mixed bag today. Current temperature, as we said, very comfortable, 3 degrees, as we say good morning and happy March to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm good, JR. Waking up, little feel in the air there, living in the New England area, good old Rhode Island, kind of that ocean weather, right, where you get a little bit of that warm breeze, but still cold, lots of water, and God, giving out that forecast right there, a little roller coaster heading on, yeah. but good to see March.
Yes.
And I was saying to Hammer, incredibly, March 11th last year, boy, if we're to chronicle one of the strangest, if not the strangest year in my lifetime, we've almost reached a day where the Sens played that final game in Los Angeles. So hard to believe it's been a whole year.
It has. It is hard to believe, but it's not hard to believe.
No,
at times.
It feels like 10, yeah. But it's hard to believe that we've kind of made it through. So how's your weekend?
My weekend was, I don't know, it was like all the weekends. Yeah. They're all kind of the same. It was fine. Thank you.
Well, you really just have to run through kind of what you ate, right? I mean, that's really the highlight of your weekend. Hey?
Yeah, I'm trying to think now.
Well, yeah. It doesn't really matter.
You know what? My wife made a couple of fantastic meals, so that part was all good.
Okay.
Always a highlight.
Watched a couple of more episodes of Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
Sort of struggling. Not going to give up on it, but struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
My wife gave up on it during season 2, so it's down to my wife and daughter. my daughter now. And let's see, watch the Britney Spears documentary.
Oh, how was that?
You know, it was pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's only like an hour and 15. It's okay. It's good because it documents her life. And, of course, you know.
You feel sorry for her a little bit after? Or?
Yeah, a little bit. It's, okay. You know, I don't want to say.
What's the focus?
Well, it's about her dad basically has taken over. That's why this whole Free Britney movement has begun, is because he controls her. He controls everything about her. Her purse
finances,
strings.
Everything.
Yes, exactly. And she's trying to get it back. And basically, the documentary is built around the fact that she is more than capable of making her own decisions. She's got nothing wrong with her or whatever. But the way the court system works, and I can't remember the term for it, that in the United States where someone else is allowed to look after your affairs,
okay,
it's very hard to turn it back once it's been turned one way.
Okay, so he was given power of attorney when she was struggling?
Yeah.
Is that
the idea? Yes, exactly, yeah. In 2000, you remember when she went through the meltdown, right?
Shaved her head.
Exactly, so that's 2008. That's 13 years ago.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
She's 39 years old now. She was, you know, in her mid-20s then. And the only part of the documentary, and it's put together by the New York Times, very well done.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not the world's biggest Britney fan, but my daughter wanted to watch it. My wife wanted to watch it. The only part that's missing is the fact that she's not part of it. They did ask her.
Okay.
But they point out at the end that she was made aware they were doing this documentary, but they don't even know that the message was actually put through to her. So
they kind of made that
point that wasn't that she necessarily said no, it's that they don't even know whether she got the information that they were putting this documentary together. But anyway, it's worth a watch. You love the documentaries. It's only an hour and 15 minutes, so it's pretty good.
Give it a go.
It's on the Crave, by the way.
Did it go all the way back to the Mickey Mouse Club and Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, goes through her life. Yeah, Justin Timberlake does not come across very well in this. Well,
okay,
you know,
they dated for a while, right?
Didn't he come out and apologize, too, after this documentary was released?
Just before.
Because he knew what was coming.
Headed off at the pass, yeah. And you know what? And knowing that kind of going in, you watch it, and if you didn't know that he apologized
for his behavior, you'd go, man, what a bad dude that is. Oh, okay, but now that you've heard the apology, it kind of lessens it a little bit. So it probably achieved its purpose.
Yeah, interesting. And I'm not up to date on all the stuff going on between them. But on the surface, I always kind of thought, boy, he seemed like a pretty good guy and certainly a great talent. And kind of look at the careers and how things have handled. Assumption is that he's done very well for himself financially. So, yeah, well, I guess I'll get home and give her a watch. Also for Britney Spears, why are you laughing?
Nothing.
Oh, the part.
That's the first documentary I think I've ever seen that you haven't watched.
No, I know.
You're immediately like, I'm going to go home and watch
well,
it.
Well, yeah. No, I end up will. I just think for people like that. And I thought about this for Whitney Houston. I kind of, when she was headed down the trail and unfortunately lost her life, I always thought, okay, at some point she's going to get into rehab. Hopefully she's still got a voice to come back, right? And it'll be a great comeback to a career. You know, for somebody like Britney Spears, I don't know, is she even capable of actually singing? I mean, most of what she does is lip syncing, right? You know, and or the, you know, the fine tuning of it. Like, I don't look at her as all of a sudden there's going to be a comeback. Do you know what I mean? Like, she, you know.
Well, she did the thing. She, you know, and this is where, you know, she had signed one of those year-long contracts to do a kind of a Vegas run like Celine used to do. And that's where it all kind of, she's kind of disappeared because signed the deal and then decided not to go through with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's almost every artist now is auto-tuned. I'm sure she's a fine singer in and of herself, but part of the whole thing is the song and the dance.
Yeah.
Right?
So, when you're dancing as much as she does, it's really hard to keep the tune and keep your breath.
Exactly.
As well.
You'd know that.
Yeah. But, yes, I would definitely know that.
Mr. Boy Band.
that's me. Yeah. I'm not the head. I'm not in the front. I'm kind of in the back row, maybe three rows to the left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right near the curtain?
Behind the curtain?
Close to?
Yes.
I'm ready to jump out there if somebody gets hurt.
Right.
I'm the sixth member.
Because as we know, your wife is a huge boy band fan. Or is it just New Kids?
No. Yeah, she was a New Kids. She was the NSYNC, the Justin Timberlake.
What about
Timberlake.
98 Degrees?
No, not so much 98 Degrees.
Okay. Backstreet Boys are solid.
Backstreet Boys.
Of all those bands, that's actually probably my go-to if I was to listen to some tunes. And funny you mentioned the music. It was kind of a music weekend at the house. Yesterday had the albums going, and somebody had donated or given me the Thriller album from Michael Jackson. So for Maddie, we put on the video. And again, you talk about singing and the ability to dance. That was our comment of, I just don't know how that's possible that somebody could be that, you know. And actually, it appears that he's singing, so... but it's kind of cool. Nice little music day. And those are fun as well right now to get the old albums out and have a cool Sunday. Even threw on a little Anne Murray in memory of my mom yesterday, JR. Sounds of The House Growing Up. It was so funny.
Snowbird sings a song she always sings.
Oh, all right, name one more Anne Murray song, please.
I don't even know the name. No. It was the greatest hits, Hammer. But when it came on, like, sincerely, my mom used to listen to that all the time. And it just really is. I really enjoy it. It was just kind of funny and nice, Morty music, a little Carly Simon, a little Anne Murray, and mixing around with some different albums. So we're good to go.
I'll tell you, if you're looking to do something on the weekends, museums, man. If you want to own a museum, my son came up to me last week, my youngest, and said, can we go to the War Museum now? Is it open? Because he watched some World War II in color. He's watched YouTube videos on just the war and history, and it's kind of interesting. So he wanted to finally go to the War Museum. I said, I think it's open. Let's do this thing. Took a look online. Yep, no doubt. You get some tickets for a specific time.
Yep.
So it's kind of spread out. And we went there first thing in the morning, yesterday morning at 10 o'clock as soon as it opened. And we own that bad boy.
Wow. That's awesome.
We walked through that for about 90 minutes and hardly came past.
So you could literally fire a cannon through the War Museum, and figuratively.
He asked. Yeah. He goes, these are pretty cool. Yeah. Do they fire?
Did you get up on the tanks at all?
There's a clear sticker on those tanks that says, don't touch.
Did you get in Hitler's
car?
Don't
hop on. You can't go in that.
Okay.
You just look at it. You know you cannot.
You know
do
you
want
to jump inside Hitler's car.
Oh, heck yeah.
Though,
of course.
The Fuhrer.
Of course. And it's the first time I've been there. What an amazing, amazing building it is.
That is. And the vehicles themselves are really, like, honestly, to go through Hammer. And as far as the planes, it's so funny because growing up on the air base, which I would say would be early 70s, there was a hangar at the old Rockcliffe Air Base. that had all those planes in their hammer sitting empty. And I think most of those planes are down at the museum down by Rockcliffe, are they not? Like, and there's a bunch at the War Museum, but a lot of that World War II stuff just sat there. They didn't know what to do with it, whether they should scrap it, and they put it all together. But to me, it's a collection of vehicles from all over the world that's the most impressive part, right? Like, just going through and saying, wow, like, what a neat, neat situation here, whoever put this whole thing together, to just kind of comprehend and understand. And yeah, that's cool. Great idea, though. I'm going to have to scoop that up and use it, get to the museums.
No surprise, that's where we went first, was the vehicles, and that's where we stayed the longest, was the vehicles. That was about half of our entire trip. And then we did go through all the other exhibits, which were pretty neat, through World War One, trench warfare, World War II, afterwards the celebration, post-war, and then a new exhibit of stories from Canadian soldiers, which was really neat as well. Of course, a 9-year-old not really willing to stick around and let Dad read a lot of these stories.
No.
It's kind of like we're strutting through and and we're done. Let's go to the souvenir shop.
Yes.
So another trip to be scheduled when I can spend a little bit more time in that exhibit, because it's some
awesome.
Cool,
just go
some
on the
interesting
way home.
Stories.
Hey?
Absolutely. I got some other things to do, but maybe, you know, I was just there yesterday, so maybe do that in a couple of weeks.
When the kids get older, you drop them at Blues Fest, and then you go do the museum, and then you bring them home after Hammer, hey?
Is the War Museum open during Blues Fest?
Oh, I don't know. I just
it is. Yeah,
that
I think
would be
so.
Interesting. Yeah.
No, not, Blues Fest is mostly at night. It's not open at night.
True enough.
You can get in
a weekend.
Yes,
you get
exactly.
Some daytime.
There you go.
Tours.
All right. Well,
but
whatever you're up to on the weekend, hope it was a good one for you. As we said, we've turned the page to the month of March, and it's a Monday. And we got a Sens game day to kick off the new month. Going to be a busy week for Ottawa, with four games coming up. Hope you like the Calgary Flames, because there's more Calgary Flames hockey coming up. Three more games this week, starting tonight with the last of the games here in Ottawa. 7 o'clock faceoff, 5 o'clock pregame show. When we come back, we'll get into all the lineup changes. Not that there's going to be a ton, but a couple of interesting things from practice yesterday. So we will get into that. The rest of the hockey story from the weekend, man, it is. Wheels have gone square and then some in Buffalo. You're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Sabres. Now we got the coach and the star player sniping. It's not good. Anyway, we'll get into all the hockey stuff. Rachel Homan comes up just short in the Scotties final again. She loses for a third straight time in the final. Late last night out in the curling bubble in Calgary. We'll detail all of that. Get into all the golf stuff from the weekend. Spring training is underway. Blue Jays played their first game yesterday. We got a little bit of football news, so we got lots ahead. We're glad you're with us. It is a Monday morning, first day of March, and you're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back. 6:23 on this Sens game day Monday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. We'll get more into the game and some potential lineup changes for Ottawa coming up in just a second. But speaking of Ottawa, we'll start with the hometown girl, Rachel Homan, and her Ottawa Curling Club rink playing in the final of the Scotties Tournament of Hearts last night. It went late into the night. Those of you who could not stay up late, want to know how it all turned out when it was all said and done. Well, Rachel Homan, of course, facing defending champion Carrie Einarsson of Team Canada in the final. And Rachel was, well, I tell you what, they were behind pretty much the entire game. They were not sharp, but somehow, some way, after being down 7-4 after 7-0, scored a point in the eighth. So they're down 7-5. They don't have the hammer. Well, then they stole 2 points in the ninth end. So it's 7-7 going to the 10th and final end, but then Holman's very last rock ends up sliding through as she was trying to make a freeze, and so Einarsson did not even have to throw her last rock. She scores two and wins the Scotty Tournament of Hearts Scotties for the second straight year. 9-7 is the final for Rachel Homan, three-time champion of this event. Three straight years she has lost in the Scotties Tournament of Hearts final, so bitterly disappointing for her, but what a tournament that she, Rachel, had in particular. She's 8 months pregnant. She is due to deliver her second child a month from today, as a matter of fact. So that was an incredible performance for her. Here's her third friend of the show, Emma Miskew, talking about Rachel's performance at the Scotties.
Can we talk for a second about Skipper over here? Like, it's unbelievable that you curled that well. So I think all women should aspire to do that. it's just amazing.
There you go. You can hear the emotion in her voice talking about that. And when you think about that for just a second, anybody that's, if you know anybody in your life that's been pregnant, be it your wife or whomever, and you kind of know how difficult it is to get around. Now imagine squatting down however many times, well, I guess it'd be 20 times a match for, 10 straight days at 8 months pregnant. Yeah, probably not something that's necessarily ideal. Yeah. So great performance by her. Unfortunately, came up just 2 points short.
Yeah, and talk about an inspiration not only in curling, but I think to women around the world, JR, to do that. The unfortunate is, boy, for these types of tournaments, either win or it's like, hey, second place doesn't mean anything, right? I mean, it's nice to have it, but every one of these things leading from a championship to end up going to a world championship, or in the case of qualifying for Olympics. But hey, a great run for the crew. And I'm sure for them and some people looking at, just to have gotten out of the house to get back competing and be around the crew was probably a great couple of weeks for everybody involved.
So what was interesting was, and the entire post-match ceremony was all done virtually, but whomever gave out the award to Einarsson, the winner, I think it was the Alberta Sport Minister or something like that. She said, good luck coming up in the World Championships. And everybody's kind of looking around going, no, they canceled the World Championships. Yeah. Well, they apparently, word is out that the World Championships may be revived and actually brought to the curling bubble in Calgary. They've got three more events coming up over the next 6 weeks or so. And then when that's all said and done, and I think one more event, they're now talking about potentially, and it's not signed, sealed, and delivered, but potentially having a Women's Worlds but coming up around the 1st of May. So we'll keep our eye on that.
Yeah,
so
and I guess anybody coming in from another country, boy, that's going to be a long event. And that assumption is, a couple of weeks of quarantine, JR? And then to do the tournament itself, boy, you're going to need some track here to put something like that on. So if you're coming to Canada, I guess plan on spending a month in the good old province of Alberta. But I guess for most of these athletes, they'd be very welcome to have a world championship.
Well, that's like Vic Router and crew. They have talked about the fact they're there for two straight months curling bubble.
Okay.
Because the next up is the Brier, starts Friday.
Yeah.
Goes for 10 days. And then after that, I think it's the Canadian, I believe it's the mixed doubles, I believe it is, championship, which is the one where it's two guys and two girls. And then after that, it's the men's worlds. So Vic and company are there for two straight months. I think he's already mentioned the date that they get to leave.
Okay.
He kind of subtly drops it in there. Yeah, we're here till April the 14th or whatever. Anyway, make the final. 9-7, Team Canada beats Team Holman in the Scotties Tournament of Hearts final. As you saw last night on TSN, and if you're a big curling fan, you do not have to wait long because the Brier is going to start coming up on Friday. All right, 6:27. It is a Sens game night, as we mentioned, taking on the Flames again tonight for the third straight game. This is, I guess, kind of the rubber match. Although if tonight doesn't go the way of whichever team you cheer for, it doesn't matter because they play again on Thursday and then they play again on Sunday. So there's three more games between the two teams coming up this week. But for the here and now, chance Ottawa for a little bit of revenge after Saturday's 6-3 loss. A game in which Ottawa fell behind 3-0 in the first, got one back. Then the second period was kind of more of the same. And then the third period was just kind of finishing it out. So 6-3 was the final. The power play was working for Ottawa. That was the one positive. They went 3-for-4 in the power play, but the rest of it on Saturday, at least, Simmer, was a bit of a write-off.
It was. Working the game with old Creech and Bunda. It was just one of those ones. It was kind of a strange feeling, JR, and maybe this is kind of where you expect it to be. Maybe it was the fact that the week felt so positive. Just felt like one of those days. You don't have it. You don't have the legs. Certainly a ton of mistakes. Not very good goaltending to kind of hold a young team in. And at the same time, you were looking for a pushback from the Calgary Flames. They certainly came out with a whole lot more purpose and a whole lot more pressure to start the game. So it felt like, you can kind of hang around and maybe close in it, but it just quite simply wasn't Ottawa's day. And as you say, burn the tape and move on to tonight and tomorrow night against Montreal.
Yeah, my feeling on it was they weren't as good as they looked in the victory on Saturday or on Thursday, weren't as bad as they looked on Saturday. The somewhere in the middle is probably where they're at. So we'll see. That's probably what we'll end up seeing tonight. Here was DJ Smith after practice yesterday about the message after the loss on Saturday.
Well, I'll get back to playing the way we play, which is stop, start. Don't try not to give you much. Take what you give us and just, all in all, play as a unit of five much better.
All right. Sounds like we're going to see at least one lineup change tonight just based on the rotations at practice yesterday. Eric Brännström, who, of course, went into Saturday's game on a two-game goal-scoring streak, was not in the regular rotation as far as defenseman goes. Braden Coburn was in his spot, alongside Eric Gudbranson. And so chances are, nothing confirmed by the coach yet, that Branstrom may sit out tonight. Ryan Dezingle was back at practice for the first time yesterday, coming out of quarantine. He will not be playing, though, for a few days. He's got to get some practices under his belt and get used to things. So probably maybe Thursday when they're out in Calgary might be the first time we see Ryan Dezingle, or they may even wait till the weekend when they play in Calgary again. But no Dezingle. But what do you think about the potential of them taking Branstrom out of the lineup?
I don't like it, Jer. Again, a little bit of a trend here and a few stuff. You know, the forward group, the way it's been handled, man, this has kind of been a dream. Zuba's hopped in and been great. Willannon has kind of disappeared. And the case of Branstrom, when I'm watching this for a young player, Gabranson has really been struggling lately and, you know, had a real tough time. His mobility was never great. But to me, he's hit a bit of a wall. Now, I guess there's a theory again, if you're going to play a guy on his natural side all the time, you end up doing a switch like that, but I don't think Coburn with Gabranson is going to be great. And quite simply, if you want to bring Coburn in, time to turn the page and be a little creative here. Put Branstrom on the right side, give him a go. So these are missed reps and missed opportunities. Not the end of the world, but I am surprised by that because, as I say, for a young guy like Branstrom, you need stability, you need a partner that's comfortable. And to me, it's actually Gabranson has been the one that's been really struggling with mobility the last few games.
Yeah, I would have to say, and again, I'm watching through my television set, and Hammer, you were at the game Saturday, was maybe the non-MVP of the game the Sens skate sharpening machine? Oh, was it just me, or was the
was
wheel,
it the ice or was the skates?
Was the wheel off or something? Because the guy's falling all over the ice.
I think McDonald's is looking for extra sponsorship, and where the logo was there had actually come out of the ice. Everybody, JR, and we were talking just before we came on the air, I just said, you know what, because watching the game, I'm like, if all the buildings in the NHL right now, especially the middle of winter, this would be the best ice you've ever had, right? You got, you know, you cold
no humidity.
Yeah, you got nobody in the building.
No concerts, no extra events.
Yeah, but there was, you know, and again, when you see one guy and Gabranson's having some trouble, then Branstrom, then Shabbat blew a tire behind. There were just a bunch. As I was watching on my television, JR, I don't know if it was the same for you, but off to the left-hand side, the Sens end, you know, just seemed to be, for whatever reason, that everybody was having a real tough time staying on their feet.
Yeah, I'm blaming the skate sharpening machine.
Yeah,
had
yeah,
to be that.
Yeah, could be.
One
yeah.
in doubt. Not
yeah.
not the people. Blame the machinery.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not the ice.
No, but it's also the guy that sharpens the skate. They take a lot of pride in that.
I know. That's why I'm blaming the machine,
okay.
not the man.
Okay.
I'm not blaming. I'm going with the ice. I'm going there was something wrong in that end. There was some little flaw. I'm not too sure exactly what, but maybe a little puddle action. But it was just a bunch of Bambis in that end. It was crazy.
Yeah.
The one other change we could see tonight, and I think we're going to see one of the next two games, we're going to see Joey Decord come in and play. He came in to play the third period. Didn't face a whole lot of action. I think five shots when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really tested. But with back-to-back games, because Ottawa plays tomorrow night in Montreal, I am going to presume that he is going to get one of the two games.
Yeah.
If only because Matt Murray, who was not very good to start, kind of stabilized. Last game was not that good, to be quite honest with you. Some of the long-range shots appear to give him trouble. Like the first shot of the game from the blue line drifts in, goes kind of right through his glove and goes over the net. It's like he's picking up late.
Yeah.
Not sure what's going on there. And then I don't remember what goal it was, but the one where it's a pretty good shot up high, but he's kind of standing sideways in the blue paint and it kind of goes zips by him.
Yeah.
He's not square to the puck on some of them. So anyway, I did not think that Matt Murray had a very strong game on Saturday.
Strong. Again, measuring for where he's at on a four-year contract. A couple of times Stanley Cup champion, over $6 million a year, JR. When I'm trying to do things, and this is obviously the tendency, when you lose, you kind of break things down, and I'm looking at him and Dadanov, and hey, there's different things. When I'm trying to rebuild a club, my confidence, credit to the coach for the new structure, I'm trying to get into hockey games. His starts have been, for overall, there's been some better ones recently, but overall his body work, I think 18 games he's played, JR, some of these first periods, this is exactly what I don't want with a young hockey team. I got to get some saves. And that trend, and I thought it would disappeared, when the guy comes off the left side, throws it at his glove, and somehow he turns around to the point, almost like a baseball player, kind of looking it into his glove, and then somehow it's in the net. I'm like, what? Like, I don't even know. I don't know if you're thinking like this is one of those ones where you're pretending it's going to miss the net. How that ends up in there, and quite simply, he has to be better. Now, I remember there was one of the starts earlier in the season where DJ Smith basically left him in and said, listen, you got to find your way here like the rest of it. A bit of a punishment. When I'm watching a game like that the other day, quite simply, it was 3-1. I think they, on a shorthanded situation, almost scored where I didn't like his movement coming across the net. Man, as a coach, you got to make the goaltending change at that point. I'm still in a hockey game. The guy doesn't have it. And if nothing else, get Decord in there. Now, as far as the games themselves, for the Decord family, who mom and dad are both bilingual and both from the Montreal area, that would be pretty cool if he ends up playing Tuesday night. So I would assume that Murray would play tonight and Decord plays tomorrow, but really? We'll see. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's just usually you play your veteran guy on the first game of the back-to-back, but they may go the other way, play against Calgary and think, hey, Montreal's supposedly the tougher opponent, so we'll see. But if Decord, either way, I'm just curious to see him. I mean, he certainly looks very athletic. I like the way he talks. He certainly has a confident feel to him, so get him in and get him some reps. Let's see what it's all about.
I would probably go with Decord tonight and go with Murray tomorrow. And I understand what you're talking about. Typically, your number one guy goes on the opening night of the back-to-backs. But Matt Murray played well in both the games versus Montreal last week and won them both. So, you know, Montreal, and again, on Friday when everything was sunshine and lollipops coming off the win on Thursday, it was all like, well, playoffs. You know, well, Montreal's a team that's a playoffs.
Yeah.
Montreal's a team that you got to catch at this point. So I think I'd roll right now with I'd roll with Decord tonight. I'm going to split. I definitely would split the two, and I'd go with Decord tonight and Murray tomorrow.
Yeah, and no disagreement. More just the theme of if he did. The curiosity will be after Allen played and they end up getting a point the other night, JR. The speculation is coming back to Montreal on Tuesday. If you're Dominique Ducharme, are you going to end up having the guts to put Jake Allen in? Or people think
I don't even think it's guts at this point, Simmer, to be quite honest with you. I think it's been talked about and speculated about so much that I don't think there's any doubt. And I didn't watch the Montreal-Winnipeg game. That Montreal outshot them widely and carried the play and really probably really should have won the game. But all that being said, they didn't win the game. But Allen, he only gave up 2 goals when it was all said and done. So I don't think there's any doubt, and I don't think anybody would bat an eye if Allen starts again.
They're not going to bat an eye. I'm only saying is that in listening to Montreal radio and kind of going through it, they think that Price may end up starting Tuesday, and maybe they're just stirring things up. Oh, I don't think there's any problem with doing it. It just really is a question. Will you go back to Allen for another start? I'm just more curious to see it. I would think. Like I said, the saving grace for the Montreal Canadiens in a season like this is going to be probably the play of Jake Allen. And, well, you know, they outplayed Winnipeg, but at least they still got a point. Now you end up coming home against Ottawa. So, I would start Allen all day long, but I'm just curious, you know, if you did end up going that path and played Price, how crazy that would end up being.
Well, we will probably find out today. I think the Habs are back on the practice ice today. I don't know what Dominique Ducharme's because he's just started. We don't know what his normal course is, if he names goaltenders or doesn't name goaltenders, but that will be certainly an interesting storyline for tomorrow night's game between the Sens and the Habs. But in the meantime, we've got a game tonight, Calgary and Ottawa. One other note from the game on Saturday, Drake Batherson continues to wield a hot stick. He got another goal. That's 5 straight games with a goal for Drake Batherson. He's up to 7 on the season now. And if you're wondering what the Sens all-time record is for consecutive games with a goal, Jason Spezza had 8 games in a row. That is the record. So Batherson was in hailing distance. Of that record, which is, I always think that's one of the really neat records when you can score in game after game after game. So it's 5 in a row for Batherson.
Yeah, and I don't know anything about Spezza back then, assuming they had one hell of a power play, JR. So that's the part if you're going to end up having a goal scoring streak like this. And also saw you very active and very creative on your social media with a little bath time there. It took me a few minutes here to kind of work out exactly what it meant.
Yes, but that was a bathtub and a clock.
I know, but I'm a little slow on a lot of things here. And, but that was had you seen that somewhere else before?
I had not seen the combination. I'd seen the bathtub before.
Okay.
And I know people have called it bath time, so I thought, I didn't think it was, I appreciate the compliment.
No, I thought it was good.
Not think it was one of my more overly creative ones, but I was bored.
Yeah, okay.
Quite frankly, and I was going through the emojis on my phone. That's really, when a game gets to be like 6-1 or 6-2, it's like, I wonder what kind of emojis are on here that I haven't really found before. So there we go. Yeah. All right, so we'll talk more about the game throughout the course of the morning, and of course, Pierre McGuire will join us coming up after 8 o'clock. Our pregame show begins at 5 o'clock tonight. 7 o'clock be the face-off with Dean and Gord. And then Ottawa heads out on the road for, I believe it's 5 in a row. They're in Montreal tomorrow, then out to Calgary to play on Thursday and Sunday. And then a couple of games out in Edmonton versus McDavid and the Oilers. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the rest of the hockey talk from the weekend. Things have gone from bad to worse, so I don't even know where they can go from here for the Buffalo Sabres because, man, it's gone south. Now you got the coach sniping with the star player. It's not a good situation whatsoever in Buffalo, so we'll come back. We will chat about that. We'll get into the golf story. Lots of interesting stories yesterday. How about Mike Weir? Looked like he was going to score his first win in a long, long time. And unfortunately, Mike faded down the stretch of the Champions Tour event down in Arizona. So we will talk about that and much more here on a Monday morning. We're glad you're with us. First day of March. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Sens game day, Monday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer, 5 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff. Yes, Sens and Flames. We'll talk more about it throughout the course of the morning. Love your reaction as well based on what you see, including who'd you like to see start net tonight for the Sens. Do you want to see Joey Decord get his first start, or do you think it's wiser to bounce back with Matt Murray on the first of back-to-backs and maybe let Decord go tomorrow night in Montreal? All right, around the rest of the NHL from yesterday, there's a bunch of teams that are where the wheels have gone square. Columbus has lost five in a row. John Tortorella is now answering questions as to whether his job's in jeopardy, and he says, I don't care, which is probably right. He probably doesn't care.
Yeah.
But probably the place where things, the temperature is turned up the hottest right now is where it typically is, Buffalo. The Sabres got shut out for a second straight game yesterday by Philadelphia, 3-0. They lost 3-0 Saturday. They lost 3-0 yesterday, in large part thanks to this guy.
2-on-1 develops. Hall in front, the shot. Oh, Hart slides across. Rob Oposo.
There you go. That is one of the saves by Carter Hart in the game. He had a number of showstoppers, as a matter of fact. So the Sabres are getting chances. They just cannot score to save their life. Since they came back from their COVID stoppage, they played 9 games. They scored 14 goals in those 9 games. 14 goals in 9 games. I don't care how good you are defensively. If you only score less than 2 goals a game, you're not going to win very many games. And right now in Buffalo, now you got Jack Eichel and Ralph Kruger are kind of, I don't know, mixed messaging about when Eichel was hurt. So it's a bad situation, Simmer, in Buffalo.
It is. And you look at Jack Eichel with 2 goals and 17, Taylor Hall with 1, obviously Mr. Skinner with no goals, the negativity, the swirl. Well, first of all, the coach is done. And gosh, I'm a big Ralph Kruger fan, JR, and that's more from the international flavor. But boy, between Edmonton and Buffalo has not gone well. You've got a general manager that has no clue what he's doing. And this is going to get, I don't know if worse or bad or what the hell I'm supposed to say, but this is just hard to believe. Like, this is supposed to be finally, like, kind of maybe going somewhere. And Taylor Hall signs, but it really is the negativity and the chaos and just bad play. And I think at the end of the day, by design, this is exactly what Jack Eichel wants. One more year of chaos, and then I can honestly say, hey, time for me to move along, you know, and that, I really think that's where it's pointed to. Then, as a franchise, where do you go from there?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it could reach a point now where Buffalo, which seems like it, well, it has been, they've been rebuilding now for 10 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They're going to have to maybe bought, you know, and really the one, they've got two kind of prizes, right? Eichel and Dahlin.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Eichel second overall, Dahlin first overall. They may end up having to ship out Eichel at the end of the day. And, you know, is the smart move to, I don't know, trade him for picks and prospects and start all over again. And if you do, again, you're looking at, you know, based on what we've seen here in Ottawa, you know, at minimum 3 to 4 years before you work yourself back out of. And by then you're talking about 15 years of terrible hockey in Buffalo. And that fan base, that is a vibrant and fan base that is, you know, we talk about fans in Ottawa being beaten down. Imagine, you know, at least they made the playoffs a few times. Sabres haven't made the playoffs since 2009, I think.
Yeah, and then the other one, you just, everybody is very informed now, JR. You look at kind of the makeup of your hockey team and you start to look at Ottawa and say, okay, you know, this, I'd like to change this. But so much of it is kind of forward thinking in that, okay, I can see a path here now where, I'm not saying write them down for the Stanley Cup in 3 years, but okay, the plan in place with the younger players. But in the case of Buffalo, well, as you've solved some things and Eichel comes in, then this doesn't work. You've never had any goaltending. And then also you kind of look at just to the atmosphere around there. And I'm not going to put it all on Eichel, but I certainly have always looked at him as a young guy, extremely spoiled. There's been a number of players that have wanted out of there. But the thing, I'm not even fearing it. What is going to happen with him is he's probably mature enough that he'll go to the Rangers or the Kings. And in a decent spot now, he'll probably fit in fine and do okay. But it sure feels like he's added to a whole lot of the chaos. And in trying to build around somebody like this that feels like a privileged kid, it just feels like the atmosphere around there, yeah, it just is. It's just a swirl of negativity since he's arrived in Buffalo, both in losing and just the tone. Like you think about Ryan O'Reilly and other players just so badly wanting to get out of there.
We have talked about the fact of, does Jack Eichel, considering the Boston University connection, which is where he went to school for 1 year, with the Rangers, makes a lot of sense. David Quinn is the coach there. Who else is from BU?
Oh, Chris Drury.
Chris Drury as well, assistant general manager. Yeah. So that makes sense.
The whole crew is from New England.
But maybe if you're Buffalo and, you know, it will depend on, you have to take the best offer at the end of the day, but it would absolutely kill you to send him in state to the New York Rangers and watch him become a star.
Yeah.
Well, he already is a star, but, you know, really, really blossom.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe
yeah.
The better thing is if you receive anything close to an equal offer, ship him out to Los Angeles. Yeah, let him play in the Pacific Coast time. let him do his thing out there. We're a little more under the radar. And again, you know, the LA Kings have, by all accounts, one of the better prospect lists headed by Quentin Byfield. We talked about Lafreniere for Eichel. Does a package built around Quentin Byfield with the Los Angeles Kings make a lot of sense going back to Buffalo if they decide to move along from Eichel?
Very early in the process, JR, but for my sample size and my feel of it, if I was the LA Kings and that's on the table to get out from underneath Byfield, and I'm not saying he's not going to be a decent player. I don't know if he'll even be a centerman in the National Hockey League. I'm doing that trade in a minute. Now, the angle from this, and I'm going to say Lafreniere is the next Gilbert Perreault, so that's kind of favorable in that, is MSG, they broadcast both games, right?
Yes.
So you maybe have a little bit of a conspiracy here that he's forced to end up being sent downstate.
Those dirty television people.
You could end up doing that.
Pulling strings.
But you're right. I mean, for the Buffalo Sabres fans, you wouldn't want to see that. And it must be an incredible situation where you basically have to have two windows in your house, because if you're a Bills fan, you go to one window for the Pagula family and you yell and you just cheer and I love you, I love you. Then you go to your Sabres window and you throw yourself out of it. I guess, but I wonder if you're the Pagula family, at what point you say, listen, man, enough is enough here. Let's just focus on the football and let's unload the hockey team. Like, I mean, how much more could you take, right? Yeah.
What's interesting about the LA Kings, and again, we're kind of spitballing here. I haven't seen anything that links LA to Jack Eichel.
No, but they've been talking about defense, actually,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
But, you know, Anze Kopitar, after this year, still has three more years at a cap hit of $10 million. And Drew Doughty's got six more years at $11 million. You add Jack Eichel and his $10 million. I mean, that's three players making. We talk about Toronto being top-heavy in terms of contracts. That's Los Angeles with over $30 million in salary cap hits tied into three players as well. And two of them now Kopitar's had a good start to this year. And Doughty claims that he's had a good start to the year. Analytics people would beg to differ, but he thinks that he's had a good start to the year. But regardless, that's two players who are into their 30s now. Yeah. And is that the right thing to do if you're Los Angeles? Or do you stay the course again with this really good prospect list that they've got and just kind of build it that way?
Yeah, no, it'll be, you know, for anybody, what's the business plan? What's the pressure from ownership? And a couple of years ago, I put out, and I guess this will relate to Ottawa, but I said, hey, I'd be moving Kopitar and Doughty, and I know people kind of related, come on, you're going to do that, and they were worried about the face of the franchise, JR, and my point at the time was, hey, I like both players, but there's no doubt, and Kopitar's never been the greatest skater either, and Doughty's played a lot of hockey. In 2 years, when you finally get to a spot here, well, now those contracts are just going to be getting in the way. Like, they should have, in that plan to me, been far more decisive and tried to move those guys out when it happened. In the case of Doughty, I guess a favorable contract and not having the no move or whatever else is in it. But at this point and in the world we're in, I mean, what kind of market would there be? So, yeah, be interesting to see what both of those teams, and also from Buffalo or just anybody. I mean, how many teams are going to get the green light from ownership to add payroll? I mean, the Los Angeles Kings, are quite a ways down. Like, is the Anschutz group, is this a year where realistically you want to go out and spend any extra money? I don't think a lot of teams will get a green light on that.
The Los Angeles Kings actually are at the very bottom.
Oh, okay.
This this year in terms of their salary cap hit. So they've got the room if they decide to choose it, but it would require a change of course from what they've done over the last little bit. Now they have played above they've lost their last couple of games, but before that they had a 6-game winning streak going, and they've got themselves on the fringes of the Western Division playoff race as well. So I wonder if again, I don't think you're trading for a superstar like a Jack Eichel at a trade deadline. If you're Buffalo, you're hanging on for this year and you're trying to make your best deal in the summer at the draft, if there is a draft or whenever it is.
Yeah, I would assume, and I'm sure you're the same looking at standings this year. Boy, you got to look at games played, right? When you go through
it's
some
points
of
percentage.
Yeah, you go through some of the teams and they're, oh, geez, they only played 16 games and then somebody else has played 23 and kind of in Ottawa's spot. I'm like, oh my gosh, to 28, you're almost halfway, you know, to the end of a season. How is it going to play? But you're right, for different teams and different pressure points. And I would think Taylor Hall, I guess, slipped out of the deadline, JR. But just you know, again, you're trying to make a little bit go forward a little bit as an organization. It really looks like if somebody came in there, and whether Adams is a general manager or who has a job going forward, if you really went in there with a fresh lens, you'd probably say, hey, you know what? If Eichel doesn't want to be here, you unfortunately have to turn the page. You now you go right back into it. How far down do you want to go again? Mm-hmm. But that's probably the only path you can go right now if you're Buffalo.
We'll talk more about it with Pierre McGuire when he joins us coming up after 8 o'clock. 6:57. I want to quickly touch on the golf from yesterday. Bunch of different angles. We had Brooke Henderson at the LPGA event. Now, she ended up not having a great day yesterday and wound up tied for 16th, 10 back of the leader. That was at an event in Florida. But I want to touch quickly on, I don't know if you ended up watching any of the World Golf Championship event that happened down in Florida, but it was really, really interesting and pretty touching, and shows the impact that Tiger Woods has on his fellow players. That we saw a number of players yesterday dressing in Tiger Woods' usual Sunday attire of black pants and a red shirt. And those that didn't, either because they didn't have shirts that color with their sponsor logos on it, or in the case of a couple players, said, we asked for something to be shipped in and it just didn't arrive in time, unfortunately. They had like Tiger's logo printed or his name on their hat or whatever. Colin Morikawa ended up winning the event by 3 strokes and then talked about Tiger afterward.
Tiger means everything to me. And, you know, yes, he had the crash and thankfully he's all right. And hopefully he has a quick and great recovery. But I don't think we say thank you enough. So I want to say thank you to Tiger because, you know, sometimes you lose people too early. And that's like, you know, Kobe, I lost my grandpa about a month ago. And you don't get to say thank you enough. So thank you, guys.
Tiger obviously was pretty touched as he was watching on from his hospital bed, because he put on Twitter last night, it's hard to explain how touching today was. When I turned on the TV and saw all the red shirts, to every golfer and every fan, you are truly helping me get through this tough time. Yeah. End quote from Tiger Woods.
Yeah, and forget about anything to do with Tiger's personal life. You know what? That's his business. I know he's a public figure, but when it comes to the golf, I mean, is there anything that you can look at that he's done wrong in his career other than play hard, be a great pro? And this is, hey, flat out, just in the analogy of hockey, this is a Wayne Gretzky effect. How many of these guys picked up golf because of Tiger Woods? How much has he grown the business? Why are these players making so much money nowadays? Well, it's all because of Tiger Woods. So I think it's absolutely awesome that they recognize and understand this is the Tiger Woods effect, and show him a little love right now, because as a golf person, he's been awesome.
It's funny how, and listen, I love golf, and I, you know, especially this time of year when it's snowing here, I'll watch a lot of golf on Sunday afternoon or whatever. And it was just really weird how, like, no one does that color combination on Sunday except for Tiger. And there was at one point, and I think it was Rory McIlroy was playing with Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
And there, you're talking about the yin and the yang of personalities. Yeah. One great guy and one not so great guy. But regardless, they're playing together. And they both had on the dark red shirt and the black pants. Yeah. They were dead on. And at one point, they're showing them, and I think they're putting out on 18, and just flashed to them. And I'm like, oh, you know, and it was like, I just immediately thought of Tiger Woods. Yeah, it was really weird how that you're just used to that color scheme and Tiger's the only guy that wears that. Yeah. And there it was, Rory and Patrick Reed doing it. So I thought that was a real nice touch. And then it was Rory McIlroy that actually started that. I think he mentioned it on Friday that he was going to do it, and then a bunch of other pros hopped on as well.
Yeah, no, it really is. Like I said, and you don't even necessarily think of it other than, as you said, it's one of those things. It's not like a number in sports. It's an outfit, you know, but that's his trademark. Who else would end up wanting to do it? Will anybody in the future do it other than to kind of a tribute to him? So, no, I thought that was really cool. Do you get guys showing up at the golf course, like important matches there that have the red and black combo?
Not the red and black, no. JR may wear orange sometimes on a Sunday for important match.
Nice.
So, only for the important ones, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not quite the Tiger effect when I walked to the first tee. The intimidating Tiger red. Yeah,
not so much. You got to spread out the orange, though, right?
Yeah. I got three different. I got three different orange shirts, and they are all different hue.
Okay.
So it's all good.
But you can also go that's a bit of the Dutchie effect, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah? That's why.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was because of Rick. Is it Fowler that wears the orange all the time? The Puma.
Exactly.
Okay.
No. No, he doesn't. He doesn't win anything important.
That's true.
He's the opposite of Tiger.
Yeah, that is.
He wears his orange, and it's his kryptonite. Hey, Ricky, you may want to go away from the orange. It's not working for you, bud.
That's true.
All right, 7:01. We'll take a break. Get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. Run down the scoreboard. Busy day yesterday. Rachel Holman falls in the final end of the Scotties. Unfortunately, she and her Ottawa Curling Club rink fall one end short and lose. So we'll get you details on that. Come back. We'll talk about the Sens and the Flames. Get you set for a Sens game day as Calgary's in town again for the rubber match tonight at 7 o'clock right here on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.